Passages, okay, and I want you to bear with me. Exodus 14. Sometimes I don't like people reading to me because I can read it, but I'm afraid there are people that don't always get it if I don't read it to them. Okay, so bear with me and read along with me quietly in your own heart if you want to. But Exodus chapter 14. I want to preach on overcoming when you're overwhelmed. Overcoming when you're overwhelmed. We live in a time where we're getting overwhelmed. We're just getting overwhelmed with politics and overwhelmed with disease and overwhelmed with trial and trouble and everything. It just seems like the world's falling apart. And I'm a little overwhelmed myself. And so the only place I know to find how to fix that is the Bible.
Yes.
Somebody sent me a text day before yesterday, and they said that they were going to Bible college classes, but they weren't really getting any Bible right now. They were studying psychology and I forgot what it was. So I wrote that person back. I said, you need to find your Bible college.
Amen.
I said, these people are going to make you doubt everything you read when you get to reading the Bible.
Amen.
Throw that junk away. That's man's wisdom.
Right.
Throw it away. And I gave them directions to a good online Bible class where they just learn the Bible. And but most people are looking for a psychologist or psychiatrist or a pill or something to help them because they're so overwhelmed. But peace is right here.
Yes, sir.
And the only way you're going to find it is read it or hear it read. So let's read chapter 14 of Exodus. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pharaoh between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-Zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, the wilderness has shut them in. And I, this is God speaking, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host. By the way, you can do that with our politicians too. That the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariots and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and the captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand. In other words, they went out grand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them in camping by the sea beside Pi-Hahiroth and Baal-Zephon. I guess that's how you say it. And when the Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore, I feel God. Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptian whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Boy, we need to be reading that to ourselves these days, don't we? And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward, but lift up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And in my first Bible college I went to, Southern Baptist, they told me it was muddy. It was the Reed Sea, not the Red Sea, and it didn't divide. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow after them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots, upon his horsemen. Now, God's going to get glory out of these people. These heathens, God's going to get glory out. And by the way, he can do the same with our politicians. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh and his chariots and upon his horsemen, and the angel of God which went before the camp of Israel removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. You see why God's getting behind them now. And it came to, between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them. But it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. You see, well, on one side it's dark, the Egyptians can't see. On the other side it's light. Ain't that where we are? And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land. And the waters were divided. Boy, I feel him. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Can you imagine that picture? But it's scary too, wouldn't you think? And the Egyptians pursued and went after them to the midst of the sea. They got right in the middle of it, even all the Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, his horsemen. And it came to pass in the morning watch, in that early morning, the Lord looked upon the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels. Their wheels just came off. They that drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. Man. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, and the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against, in other words, they running back home, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them, and there remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand, on their left. Thus saved the Lord, for thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servants. What a story. What a story. You know what we need to do? We need to quit trying to figure it out and let God do it. Amen. 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 Now, if you remember Exodus 13, the children of Israel had just celebrated the Passover. All the firstborn of Egypt that didn't have the blood of the lamb on their doorpost died. That included their horses, their cows, their sheep, their chickens, everything else. The firstborn, including human beings, and Pharaoh's firstborn died. And it moved him, and so he let the people go. And on their way out, they gave them gold and silver. The Egyptians were taking their earrings and their necklaces and throwing it at them, saying, yes, please leave, leave, leave. And they went out, just like the story says in chapter 14, they went out in glory. And they went out with the victory. Slaves. Had no weapons. Had nothing to fight with. All they had was God. And had a man of God that wasn't afraid to stand up. And he stood up, and his brother stood up. And listen, they went through a lot, and the plagues came, and God protected them. And then the Passover, the death angel came and God protected them. You'd think when they walked out that day, they'd be holding their shoulders and their heads high and saying, that's our God. That's our God. We were overwhelmed, but we weren't overtaken. In the day we live in, we've met the Savior. Yes. We know what the blood of Jesus will do. Yes. He has delivered us from death, hell, and the grave. He's delivered us from this world and the things and the people of this world. We're not even part of this world anymore. We're like the children of Israel. They went through that wilderness as aliens and strangers until they got to the promised land. And we're aliens and we're strangers. The Bible calls us aliens and strangers in this old world. The Bible calls us pilgrims. We're just passing through. We need to quit putting roots so deep. We need to say, well, this I'll do today and God take care of tomorrow and I'm just passing through. And listen, let God be true and every man a liar. And I'm going to trust him before I trust anybody else or anything else. I put it on him that day to give me eternal life and save me when I die and take me to heaven. Surely I can count on him to take care of me on the way.
Amen.
Amen. And that's the way they went out that day. But then they got out there and look at verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. That's strange. They just seen God do mighty things. Plague after plague, and death, and blood turning to water, and dust turning into lice, and frogs invading everything, and then that firstborn and the death angel, they done seen it all. But as soon as they see Pharaoh and his army coming, what they do? They were afraid again. That's a whole lot like us, isn't it? Now I know I'm going to heaven. I was born again March 5th, 1978. I was there when it happened. Amen. Mama didn't tell me that. Didn't have daddy tell me that. Preacher didn't tell me that. God told me that. And I've never doubted him since that day. I hear a lot of people talk about their salvation. They doubt their salvation. And I'm not bragging, but God put it in me. He gave me the faith I never had. And I've never doubted my salvation. Now I've doubted me. I've doubted my calling before. I've doubted what I did before since I've been a Christian. But I've never had a problem with knowing if I died, I'm going to heaven. I've never had a problem that God adopted me that day. And he made me his son, and he's my father. And I've got a father now. His name's God. I had a big brother. I had four brothers, four sisters, but I got a big old brother. His name's Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. I've never doubted that. And look, but every once in a while, the old devil, he'll rear up, that old dragon, old slew foot, that old sorry, low-down dragon, he'll rear up his head sometime at me, and I'll get afraid. Don't say you don't. You'll be sinning. You'll be lying. That's a sin. Amen? But let me tell you something. Every time I'm afraid, I look to him.
Amen.
I look to him. Now, since I've been saved, I've not been afraid of dying. I don't have a problem with dying. I don't like pain. I don't want to suffer. You know, nobody wants to be sick and suffer. But I'm not afraid to die. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm going to live as long as God lives. Me, not my shell. My old shell. We got some church members right now. Their old shell's giving them troubles. But the real man inside, not there's no problem there. But we get afraid. We get overwhelmed. Things come at us. The other day, Kenneth called me. He was overwhelmed. Didn't know what to do. He was just overwhelmed. But then God showed up.
Amen.
And he worked it all out.
Amen.
So I just want to talk to you just for a few minutes about Pharaoh drew nigh. You know, when God's people are moving for God, you can always count on a Pharaoh to show up. Something's going to happen. The old devil's going to do something. The enemy is not far away ever. And you got to remember, Satan, this world's your enemies. They're not your friends.
That's right.
Don't count this world to be a friend of God's people. They're not. They hate us.
Yes.
And that's coming out in politics now, but they hate us. I don't count on this world. I count on him and him alone.
Right.
Anytime a church is doing something for God, the old devil, he'll raise that head up. And he'll want to strike. But thank God I'm not worried about that. It's God's church. He's the one that has to take care of his church. My house at home is God's house. God's promised to take care of that. I don't have to worry about that. I have to do my part. I have to do my best. But in the end, when Pharaoh shows up in his crowd, God has promised to take care of me and never leave me nor forsake me. Usually when you have trouble, you want to blame it on somebody. Now, who would they blame it on? A man that gave his life to lead them out of Egypt, who stood up when nobody else would stand up, who took the risk when nobody else would take the risk, and he stood up, and he stood up against Pharaoh. And now God used that man to lead them through and get them out of Egypt. And then Pharaoh shows up again, and who's the first person they want to blame? The man that delivered them in the first place. Watch out who you complain about.
Come on now.
Yep. Certainly don't complain about the Lord. Don't say, Lord, I don't know why you did this to me. Don't you ever say that. If you got what you deserve, he'd send you to hell.
Amen. Come on, yeah.
And if you got mom and daddy, don't you ever look at mom and daddy and blame them for your life, especially after you've grown up. Now, when you're little, that's one thing. But when you become a man and put away childish things or a grown woman, you need to stop blaming your parents for your failures and your problems. My mom used to tell me, she said, if you ever go to jail, you get in, you'll get yourself out. Because she figured if I was old enough to go to jail, I was old enough to get myself out. And I did one time. And I didn't tell mom I went to jail. Somebody else did. I heard her tell two of my sisters, said she didn't like the guy that was married. So she said, now you made your bed, you lie in it. Don't come back here crying to me. You married the wrong man. You said, that's mean. No, that's adult. That's adult. You don't complain to the person that's been a blessing to you and raised you and took care of you. But the first thing people do, start having trouble in church. Well, you know that pastor. He never should have said that on Facebook. He never should have said that in that sermon, you know. But it's strange. You loved him whenever you had that baby and he showed up, or you had that death and he showed up, or you were sick and he showed up. But now all of a sudden, and that's the same way they did Moses. And Moses said, they said, call on God. He went and called on the God, and he said, look here, tell him to stand still. Just stand still. That's all you have to do. Amen. Stand still. Now, I'm glad when the devil rises up against this church, because that tells me that we're doing something right.
Amen.
Now, if you can go through this world in a flowery bed of ease, you're not causing any waves, you ain't right. There's something wrong with you. And the Bible even says, beware if every man speaks well of you. And I'm glad when old devil gets mad sometimes. I'm glad when his people get mad. I'd be ashamed if they didn't. Look at verse 12. In verse 12, is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it had been better for us to serve in Egypt than that we should die in the wilderness. Always looking back. Their whole story, as you read it, for 40 years, because of their unbelief, they were always looking back. And also because they brought the mixed multitude with them. They had unbelievers they brought with them. And they were always saying, Moses, if it hadn't been for you, we'd still be eating leeks and garlics. We'd still be living in the lap of luxury, even though we were slaves. If you hadn't have brought us out here to die in the wilderness, it's your fault. Let me tell you something. Never look back. Always look forward by faith. You say, well, I failed yesterday. Well, today's another day. Look forward by faith. Well, I wasn't a good Christian last year. This is another year. Look forward by faith. God's not through with us till we get to heaven.
Amen.
Amen. Come on. Listen, don't look back. Always look forward. I've made some of the dumbest mistakes in my Christian life that you would ever imagine and would pray nobody else would make those mistakes. But you know what I did? I got up and I looked up to him. I said, God, I'm sorry I did that. That's a mess I made right there, Lord. Help me to go on, go on, go on, go on. Look at verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Go forward. Fear ye. What if I fall again? Get up and go forward again. Well, what if they attack me again? Get up and go forward again. Well, what if I fail? Get up and go again. Go ye forward. You can't live in fear. There's people right now, because, and God help them. I feel sorry for people that got sick. He's been sick. He can testify how it is. A lot of other people got sick. But we can't just lock ourselves in the house in fear because of a virus. Boy, my grandparents saw that Spanish flu or whatever it was, and it killed millions of people. But you know what they did? They went to work every day. They went to church every Sunday. And when people got sick, they ministered to those people who were sick. They didn't run away from them. They run to them.
Amen.
God help us. We live in a state of fear. Our churches are in a state of fear. And we need to quit fear and just go forward and say, look, God brought me this far. He's not going to drop me now. He's promised to take care of me until the end. And looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith, I'm going on. If I get sick and get over it, I'm going on. If I get sick and die, I'm going on to heaven. That's the worst thing that can... God solved their problems as they went. God solved their problems. He met their problems when the problems came up. And Christians are so afraid of what might happen, they don't know what would happen if it did happen, whether God would come in and take care of it or not. And you know what you do when you do that? You miss a lot of blessings.
Amen.
I got saved in 1978. I surrendered in 1980 to preach. I didn't know what a preacher was. I'd never met but one. That was my pastor there. But every time I'd read the Bible and God would be talking to somebody, I felt like he was talking to me, Moses or King David or somebody, you know. So, and I just couldn't get away from it. And I struggled with it for a year. I never told my wife. I never told anybody. And then finally one day I just couldn't take it anymore. And I said, God, if you don't do something, I can't preach. How am I supposed to preach? But I'm going to, by faith, accept the call. And I went down and I accepted the call. And I think my wife liked to have a heart attack. And I know everybody in the church did. But what would happen if I hadn't went forward?
Praise you, Lord.
Now, I'm not a great preacher, but I've seen a lot of people saved.
Praise
not me. I didn't save them. God saved them. But what if I hadn't?
Right.
Every year I watch that Christmas movie, It's a Wonderful Life. Because I want to remind myself that everybody's life is important. And if you don't go forward in what God tells you to do, it will change the lives of a lot of people because you were afraid to go forward.
Come on now.
Fear not. Look here. He said, look, in verse 12, he said, verse 13, he said, and Moses said unto the people, fear not, stand still, and you shall see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Now that's an intimidating crowd, the greatest army on planet Earth, come to get a bunch of slaves with sticks. But he said, don't worry about them. You're never going to see these people again.
Yes.
And yet we go out in this nasty, filthy world and we're afraid to speak up or be a good Christian because we have fear of what these people are going to say about us. And I look at them and I think, I'm never going to see these people again. And if I don't say it now, I'm never going to get another opportunity to say it. Well, I smell wood burning now. Look at verse 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? He's asking, why are you even praying this? That's what he said. Why are you? Can you imagine how the Lord thinks sometimes some of our stupid childish prayer? Why are you even praying this? That'd be like one of my children come to me and saying, Daddy, I'm hungry. I'm afraid I'm never going to get anything to eat. I'd look at him and say, I thought I taught you better than that. Have you ever went hungry before? They'd have to say no. I said, well, I'm not going to let you go hungry now. And he said, why are you praying? Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. You know what we got to get back to when we're overwhelmed? You know what we got to get back to when we're overcome and that makes us overwhelmed? We got to get back to the Word of God. Back to, do you know how little the Word of God is being taught and preached nowadays? We get little sermonettes from a little preacherette so we can run out to the kitchenette and be Christianettes who smoke cigarettes. It's sad. It's sad. And people are dying for lack of knowledge.
Yep. Amen.
Go forward. Keep your feet in the way. God solved their problems before. He can problem again, solve them again, but he did it as it comes to them. If you're worrying about what a day may bring forth, you're probably wasting your worry. I've wasted a lot of worry. You ever wasted worry? I lay at night, and that's when it gets me. As you get older, that's the way it does. I lay in the bed, and I'm thinking, well, what about if so-and-so? And what about if this or that? And what about my child or my grandchildren this or that? And I get all this worry, and I can't sleep. And next day, I get up, and I look around, and I think, I lost a lot of sleep over nothing. I'm worried about something that's never happened yet and probably will not happen. And every time God proves that right. So I say, well, wasted that worry. I could have worried about something more important than that. Amen. And look here. In verse 13, he said, keep your face in the will of God. Moses did. Moses looked to God. He didn't look to armies or politicians or governments. Moses said, Lord, I ain't got nowhere else to go. You called me. You sent me. Now, I can't talk to these people. They don't believe you. So I'm just going to talk to you, Lord. Jesus did it. In Luke 9:51, it says that Jesus set his face to go toward Jerusalem like a flint, Miss Preacher said over here. Like a flint. He set it like a rock. He's going to Jerusalem and he's going to suffer and die for our sins, and every devil in hell will not stop him. And we ought to get like that. Why don't we do that? Why don't we say, well, Lord, if I live or I die, I die unto you. And Lord, if people try to hurt my feelings, I ain't got no feelings. I'm dead. I died March the 5th, 1978, was born a new creature. You can't hurt a dead man's feelings.
That's right.
Amen. And no weapon formed against me is going to harm me unless you let it. So I'm just going to go on. Jesus was hated, despised, rejected of everyone. Look at verse 11 and 12 again. In verse 11, they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? They're saying, was there not enough graveyards over there? You going to bury us out here now? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Now, wait a minute. When they were headed out of Egypt the other day and the Egyptians were throwing gold and silver at them, they were happy as a lark. But now somebody stood up against them and they're ready to quit. Do you know how that sounds like a Baptist church to me? I've been at this since 1982. Do you know how many I've seen quit on the way because somebody raised up their head or said a word, or they didn't get to do their little pet project or something, and they got mad and left church and left God? You know what it tells me? They never were in the right way to start with. And then in verse 12, is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. My goodness, how crazy can you be? You keep fear. You keep your fear above everything else, and you ignore the wisdom and the power and the presence of a holy God. All of us. All of us. We get overwhelmed. And we forget that this is not the thing we need to be listening to. It's the one that lives inside of us that we need to be listening to. Have you ever looked at God and said, God, why are you putting me through this? Don't do that. Say, God, give me the grace that I need to go through this, because you chose this valley for me. You chose this wilderness for me. I didn't pick this, God. You picked this. That's what I told him whenever I surrendered to preach. If you don't like my preaching, tell him, okay? He's the one that chose the valley. He's the one that chooses the wilderness we go through. We shouldn't look at the Maker as the created and say, God, I think you're making a mistake here. Well, look at him and say, God, don't understand it. Don't feel real good right now, but I'm not going to let it defeat me. I'm not stopping here. Amen. God knows everything about you. God knows the Red Seas. He knows the Egyptian armies. He knows the wilderness. He knows the enemies. He knows the circumstances. He knows the heartaches. He knows the sickness. He knows the pain. And God told you, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I'm afraid we got too much confidence in doctors and politicians.
Yes.
And not enough in Dr. Jesus or King Jesus.
Amen.
You know what we'll do? And we've done it, Brother Ron. When you get right in the middle of that turmoil and you don't know what to do, you just stop.
Yeah.
When somebody dies in your family, you're not supposed to make any important decisions for about 6 months. Because you're going to be making them off of your emotions, not facts.
Amen.
And people do it all the time.
Yeah.
And so whenever I get in a wilderness or I get in a hard place or I become attacked, the first thing I want to do is try to figure my way out of this.
Mm-hmm.
I know y'all don't do that, but I do that. And I try to figure out, well, do I have enough money to fix this? Can I get to a doctor that'll fix this? Can I vote somebody into the White House or the Senate or the Congress to fix this? And then I realize I can't do nothing. I just got to stand. Look, if you don't want to be attacked, never preach a sermon. Never teach a Sunday school lesson. Never witness to anybody. Never tell anybody you're praying for them. And certainly don't become a pastor. But listen to me, everybody look up here. Every one of us have wilderness. Every one of us have the enemies. Every one of us have those circumstances. Every one of us have sickness. Every one of us has heartaches. Every one of us has had betrayal. And every one of us has pain. And Job said it, man's days are few and full of trouble.
Yes.
We're not in heaven yet. You see, here's what happened. The children of Israel went out. The bands were playing and people were throwing stuff and giving them stuff, you know. They thought they was in a parade. But you know what? They forgot. They wasn't in the promised land yet. They just begun the journey. And we need to just look. God told them, stand still and see. God told them, go forward. God told them, see the salvation of the Lord. I don't like down here. I don't. It's a land full of sorrow.
Yes, it is.
It's a land full of sickness and pain.
Yes.
It's a land full of evil and wickedness. It's a land full of people that's full of hate and envy and lust and greed. And I got to live here. But I ain't got to live like them.
That's right. Amen, yeah.
And I ain't got to be a part of them. And I can walk through that wilderness without being a part of the wilderness. And I can walk through that valley without being a part of darkness. And I can stand against evil without attacking evil with evil.
Amen.
So sometimes, and you can ask my wife, I'm not good at standing still. I'm really not. I'm a lot better than I used to be. In my younger days, I'd say, let's just do something, even if it's wrong. I can't just stand here and die. But now I say, let's just stand here and see what God's going to do.
Amen.
I'm not starting another political party. I know that kind of flipped some of your boats. I ain't like the last ones. I'll not like any of them on planet Earth. I'm not starting another denomination. Every church in the Bible was a local church, not a denominational church. I'm not going back to Rome. My kind never came from Rome. We're not Protestants. We're Bible believers. I'm not protesting until they get something right in the Catholic Church and then go into it. I never was a part of it. And they ain't never going to get it right. I'm not going back. I'm not going back to Club 9 down there in Fort Long. Amen. I ain't going back. I ain't going back to the drink of the month club.
Right.
I'm not going back to that.
Right.
I'm not going back to the toke of the day club. I'm not going back to the mean club and all that stuff. I'm going to stand still until the Lord says move forward, and I'm going to move forward. I'm not going back. I've been hurt. I've been disappointed. I've been let down. I've been betrayed. But not much as Jesus was. It may come a day they might want to nail me to a tree. But if they do, I'm still not going back. Look at verse 31. Verse 31. Chapter 14. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. Look at this. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Sometimes people, I used to stand in church and preach every Sunday for 10.5 years while a woman sat at the back like this right here. And she talked bad about me for 10.5 years, and she belittled me and lied on me and misled people on me. And she'd take people to dinner just to tell them how sorry her pastor was. You know what I did? I stood.
Amen.
I just stood. I prayed God to move her. Did you know he never moved her? And she did campaigns against me. And guess what? After I left there and I was gone a few years and the Lord called us to start this church, guess who shows up? And tells people how much she loves me and that this is the only Bible-believing church in town. And I sat down and wrote her and her husband this long letter how I was not going to let them join church. If they joined here, I'd have to leave. And I never sent it. And several times, I still got it saved on my computer. Several times I went back to it thinking, I need to send that. But you know what the Lord tells me? Just stand still. She ain't coming. She ain't coming. She didn't like you the first time just because she couldn't find a church where she could believe the Bible and preach the Bible and things like this. And now she realizes what she had and she ain't got no more. She lives too far away from here and she's too lazy to drive this far. Praise God. I'm just going to stand. I'm just going to stand. Now look what happened after that. In chapter 15, I know I've done gone over time, but some of you ain't coming back tonight. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord and spake saying, I will sing unto the Lord for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation, my father's house, and I will exalt him.
Amen.
Well, preacher, I'm right now, I've been overwhelmed. I'm not going back to church because I'm scared. The Lord's let me down, preacher. I've heard people say that. Would you believe that? The Lord has let me down. I'm sick. God has deserted me. My spouse died. God let me down. My children went astray. You're not dead yet. Why don't you stand still and see the salvation of the Lord instead of belittling him and putting him down? Because if you'll stand still and see the salvation of the Lord and set your eyes upon him, listen, what's going to happen? You're going to find out in verse 3, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. And then they go on and sing that song, how the Lord defeated their enemies and drowned them in the Red Sea. I don't care what modern culture has taught you, psychology, sociology, the modern dead Bible seminaries taught you, or the dead preachers taught you. God's alive and well.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus Christ is alive and well. And let me tell you something. My enemies are their enemies.
right.
And when you got somebody watching over you like that, you don't have to fight.
Amen.
All you got to do is stand there. My older brother, I had four brothers. I had one younger than me and three older, but the one right after me was named Larry. Larry was a lover. He was cool, drove a cool car, dressed cool. You know, he was born in the late 40s. But he was also a fighter. He could fight. But he didn't like to fight. But one day, this gang from up the street was down at my house beating. Mama wasn't there, nobody was there, but me and my little brother, we was about 11, 12 years old. And there's about 10 of those boys up there just beating the devil out of us. And they used to practice beating on us. And a car drove up in the driveway and stopped, and out stepped Larry, and you'd think somebody turned on the lights and the cockroaches ran. There's Larry, we got to go. Another time I was uptown, I just got my license, I was driving at night when I wasn't supposed to. And the football game got over, and this gang from the Mill Hill come up to the stoplight and opened car doors and jumped in. I wasn't a fighter. I never was a fighter. I didn't weigh but 120 pounds, 6'2", you know. They started beating on me in the car, daring me to say anything so they could all beat on me. That one kept slapping me, and I didn't say nothing, because I knew it meant death, you know. And we was parked on the side of the road where they wanted out, and all of a sudden this good-looking Plymouth pulls up in the parking lot restaurant next door, and good-looking young man gets out, and one of them says, "There's Larry Roddy, we got to go." And they jumped out of my car and took off down to the Mill Hill. Guess what? I got a brother named Jesus now.
Yes.
And when the devil jumps on me, I say, "Brother Jesus." And when he shows up, guess what's got to happen? They got to leave me alone.
Yes.
So I'm just going to stand there. I can't fight. I don't know how. Listen. This church, I don't know about the church down the road. We need to start just standing still, waiting to see what the Lord's going to do. Quit trying to figure this stuff out. Count on Him. And when you feel overwhelmed, go to Him and say, "Lord, I don't know what to do. If you don't do something, I'm going to die." And I'll guarantee He'll show up every time.
Amen.
Now, if you're not saved, you ain't even got that. You got nothing. You're all alone. But the good news is, He said, "Come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest." He'll take you in if you receive Him as your Savior. Turn from your sins, ask Him to save you. And He says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Let's stand. Altar's open if you need it. You might want to lay up.